Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it is Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always. The blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Luke 19 and 10 tells us. And how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is to be saved and to know that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't know that, sir, ma'am, if you don't know, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. I encourage you right now. Humble your heart, bow your head, run to God and say, "Oh, Father, be merciful for Christ's sake. Be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know what God will do? God will save you. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of John's Gospel, John chapter 10. And I want to read a very, very familiar passage of Scripture to Bible readers from that great chapter. And I'll trust that God will bless the message He has laid on my heart. Certainly stirred me, and I trust that you will find it to be a blessing unto you. But before I do that, Deb's got a song she's going to do. The title of it is Heaven Awaits. And notice now, notice what this says. It says, Heaven awaits all those whose trust is in the Lord. You enjoy. I'll meet you in John chapter 10 in just a couple of minutes of time.
One day my labor down here will be all. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across that foamy sea where heaven waits me. Heaven awaits those trust is in the Lord. Heaven awaits those who believe. It's not a fairy tale, I know it must be real. Heaven awaits me.
God. Now listen to what I'm going to say. You may not have the assurance that you ought to have. You may not have the assurance that you can have. You may not have the assurance the Word of God gives you, friend, that's available to whosoever will. But let me ask you, where are you going to spend your eternity. You know, do you not? You know, sir. You know, ma'am. And if it's not in heaven, if you're not sure, friend, if you are not sure when you die you're going to heaven, listen, you've tuned into the right place today, and I pray, oh, how I pray God will touch your heart, how I pray He'll touch your spirit, how I pray that He will do a work in you, friend, that'll give you peace that passes understanding. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse, may as well pick it up in verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us doubt? If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But ye believe not, because you're not My sheep, as I said unto you. Listen now, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. Boy, I like both of those verses, don't you? Listen, friend, we're on shouting ground. He goes on in verse 30 to say, I and My Father are one. Now, they wanted a clear statement of Christ's deity, and friend, there is no clearer statement of the deity of Christ than you find there in the book of John, chapter 10. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about a question. And it is this, can a believer be sure? You say, preacher, going to be sure of what? Can a believer be sure that he or she is saved? Listen to what Jesus said there in verse 28 again. Well, let me get to verse 27. He said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. And He goes on to say, The Father is greater than Me, and no man shall pluck them out of His hand. You know what that means? That means no man can remove us out of the hand of God. Once He takes hold of us, once God takes hold of us, friend, listen, I want you to know that nothing, no created thing, nothing, no thing can ever take us out of the hand of Almighty God. Listen, somebody said, well, preacher, nobody can take me out of the hand of God after I get saved, but I can. Well, listen, friend, if you try to make the Word of God say something that it isn't saying, shame on you. But I'm going to take the Word of God, and it's taken me a while to learn to do this, but now that I have, I like it. I'm going to take the Word of God at its face value. I'm going to believe what God said and not what man said. I'm going to be talking to you today about this question. Can a believer be sure? A man by the name of J. Vernon McGee, already gone to be the Lord, used to say this. He said, I believe in the security of the believer and the insecurity of the make-believer. Friend, listen, it's not everybody that goes to an altar that kneels down and says some kind of a prayer. They may even ask Christ to come into their heart. But friend, listen, they may not get it. You say, why? Because they may not be true when they're asking. I want you to know God knows the heart. Jesus knows when a man is true. He knows the thought and the intent of the heart, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. It's not everybody, I'm afraid, and I'm sad to say this too. I don't say this with any kind of joy. I don't say it with any kind of happiness or satisfaction, but I want you to know I'm afraid. Because man have proved me right. Not everybody goes to the altar and says they get saved, have been saved. I want to tell you something, friend. You get saved, there's a change that'll come in your life. And there's a change that'll start in your mind. You begin to change your mind about Christ. You begin to change your mind about sin. You begin to change your mind about eternity. You begin to change your mind about how you're living and how you're going to die. And I'll tell you, when you change your mind, thank God, God will produce a change of heart. And that change of heart will produce a change of behavior. Thank God, listen, if you've gone to the altar and you said, I got saved, there's been no change in you. Well, sir, ma'am, let me say sadly, there's been no change in you. You've got shortchanged, like somebody said. John said, listen, they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. Even a man by the name of Judas Iscariot, bless God, received power to cast out demons and to heal people. That Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. Jesus said in the book of John, he said, listen, or in the book of Matthew, excuse me, and it's chapter 7. And I'm turning to it very quickly as I can, by the way, so I can read it. I don't want to miss one out of this. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons or devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus said, now you listen to this. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus, listen, friend, doesn't have a short memory. He's not developing Alzheimer's. Do you hear me? Thank God when he said, I never knew you, it means that he has never known you. Now look, I'm going to tell you something. The security of the believer. Now, the security of the believer, you won't find that phrase in the Word of God. It is a theological expression, friend, that's based on the Word of God, that's based upon scriptural revelations about what a man or a woman who put their trust in Christ is. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not going to believe it. Well, do you believe in the rapture? Well, sure, preacher, I do. Well, do you know the word itself, rapture, isn't in the Bible? But the concept of the rapture is a different word than the rapture is used in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said we'd be called up, snatched away, or raptured. Friend, listen, I'm here to tell you, you know the word Bible isn't in the Bible, and yet you believe the Bible? Hey, friend, I want you to know the fact that we are secure in Christ is taught throughout the Scriptures, undeniably, friend, unequivocally. And I want you to know it's taught repetitively. We read about and hear about the assurance of the believer. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad I've got it. Thank God. If you don't, you can have it. And the sad part of it is many people who are saved and will be in heaven live without the assurance of the believer. I was like that for far too many years. But thank God, you know what I quit doing? I quit trying to base my salvation and my Christianity on, bless God, my feelings and on my faithfulness. Now, I want to feel right and I want to be faithful to my Lord. But thank God, when I'm not faithful to Him, He's always faithful to me. I be my feelings what they will. Jesus is my Savior still. I like to feel good. I like to be blessed. But I'm going to tell you, even when I don't feel saved, thank God I'm still saved. Amen. I like what Fanny Crosby wrote, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank God. I'm glad to know, friend, listen, we can have assurance of the believer. Hey, thank God. Listen to what the Word of God said. Man, isn't this good? I'm telling. Well, let me give you an illustration of something first. The Bible said that no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of the hand of the Father. Hey, when I was little, we used to live in a little four-room house. And out in front of our front yard, and we didn't have a big yard there, the mud hole just about bigger than the front yard. I remember one summer it rained. rain. Thank God, listen about everybody in that little area got out and played the mud hole. Not only me and my brother Doug, but my daddy, my mama, and some others too. We just had a good time. And I remember one day after we played in that mud hole, we getting ready to go across the church, and mama used to put them white bucks on me and my brother. Boy, they were sharp. Man, she'd have us dressed up, and she didn't have much to work with, and she working with me. She'd kind of dress her little baby up, you know what I mean? And I remember Dad that day. We were going out the door. Dad had me by the hand. You know what he did? Bless God, he took me and he grabbed me by the hand, swung me over the mud hole. Thank God. I didn't get any mud on me that day. The day we were playing in it, had it all over me. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Listen, if I'd been holding on to my daddy's hand as a little boy, and I got about halfway over that mud hole, I'd have let go. Thank God, listen. Hey, my staying clean wasn't dependent upon me. It was dependent upon my daddy. And he had made provision to keep me clean. Thank God. Now listen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. We either believe God about what the Word of God says, either we believe God about what the Word of God says, about the assurance we have of our salvation, or we believe man. How sad is that? I don't know about you, but I've learned, bless God, to believe what God has to say. John said this in chapter 20 of the Gospel. He said, these things have I written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have eternal life. John said in the book of 1 John 5 and 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Word of God said in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He said in the book of John, 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He said in the book of Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The Bible tells us, listen, that God, from the beginning, from eternity past, has promised eternal life to those who put their trust and faith and hope in Him. And friend, I'm here to tell you, you don't wait, bless God, to get eternal life when you die. You get eternal life when you trust Christ as your Savior. You get eternal life, bless God, when you get Christ. I'm trying to find a verse in the book of John chapter 17, and it is verse 3 which says, and this is life eternal, that you may know, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If you know Christ as your Savior, sir, ma'am, you know eternal life. Thank God you don't wait to get eternal life when you die. You get it when you die out to sin. Jesus said in John 10, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Thank God that abundant life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you begin to live by trusting Christ as your Savior. And I listen to what Titus said, or Paul did to Titus in verse 2 of chapter 1. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He said in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, 6:23, he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's sad, friend, that many people who have nailed at an altar of prayer, many people who have said, God, I'm a sinner, I want you to save me and mend it, down to the depths of their soul, have never come to the place that they're sure of their salvation. They hope so. They think so. They're not sure. They just absolutely don't know. But thank God, I like what Paul said. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Paul said, listen, he said, well, let me turn over and get the beginning of that, because I can get the latter part of that verse without any trouble. But for some reason, God wants me to get it all. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul believed the Word of God. And more than that, it's not more than that really. It's the same. They're equal. God believed the Word. Thank God. Listen, if we trust in what we do instead of what Christ has done and is doing, we'll never have the assurance of our salvation. We'll never have the peace that the Word of God says that we ought to have. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32, there's one of the greatest verses here that there is on the assurance of the believer. And Isaiah said even long ago, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. How wonderful that is. Do you all not know, friend, today that we're not just saved by the death of Christ, but we're saved by the life that He now lives. The Bible said in the book of Romans 5:10, for since, or in light of the fact, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now watch this. Much more, man, Paul, I'm telling you, nails it down. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The book of 1 Corinthians 15:3 said, for Christ died for our sin. But it goes on in Revelation 1:18 and said, I am He that was dead, I am He that liveth and was dead, but He said, I am alive again. John 14:19, He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Right here in Romans 5:10, He tells us Christ died to save us, but He lives to keep us saved. Thank God. And as long as those of us who are in Christ Jesus understand that Jesus lives forever, thank God. When we understand that being in Him means that we will live forever, we will never die. Now listen to what He said in the book of Hebrews 7:25. The Bible said, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you know why God has His Son sitting in His right hand, making intercession for people like me and you? Well, God knew that once we got saved, we'd have a perfect salvation, but we wouldn't be perfect Christians. Do you know that? And one of Christ's works, He not only worked to save us, but thank God He lives to keep us. His work now, since He's died, since He's been buried, since He's been resurrected, is that of mediator. It is that of intercessor. And when the old accuser of the brother comes to the throne of God, points a finger at T.K. Price and says he's sinned, Jesus, my advocate, gets in the way of him, between him and the Father, raises up, bless God, a nail-pierced hand. And the Father looks at the accuser and says, I don't know what you're talking about. Thank God He ever liveth to make intercession for me. And the Bible said He's able to save to the uttermost. You know what that means? That doesn't mean from the gutter most to the uttermost. It means He's able to do it all the way to the end. Philippians 1:6 says, He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. I like that, don't you? Thank God, I like that. I'm going to tell you, when we believe we're saved, salvation is a gift. That's what John 10:28 said. It's a gift of grace. We don't work to get it. We don't work to keep it. But I'm going to tell you what, a grace that's been worked in us will be worked out of us. Bless God, we'll give evidence of it by the life we live. We'll give evidence of it by the character that we manifest. We'll give evidence of it, I thank God, along the way. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen. According to the book of 2 Peter 1:4, we become a partaker of the divine nature. And in light of that fact, listen to what Peter had already said in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and following. He said, blessed be the Father, our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now listen to this, to an inheritance incorruptible, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And He said, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Now listen to me. We don't have any problem believing that God is able to keep our inheritance in heaven. He's able to keep it secure. He's able to keep it just like He promised. But somewhere or another we have trouble thinking He'll keep us. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, the Bible says that He has given us an inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, period. And verse 5 goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God. Sir, ma'am, you couldn't save yourself. Sir, ma'am, you can't keep yourself. But we're kept by the power of God. I'm going to tell you, we got a good shepherd, a chief shepherd, a great shepherd. The good shepherd kept, gave his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, blessed God, takes care of his sheep. The chief shepherd's coming back. And when the shepherd, thank God, has 100 sheep in his fold when he begins, he'll end with that number. Hey, can I believe? Believer, be sure. Thank God if they believe the Word of God. They get rid of tradition. They stop trying to live by feelings and go by faith and the fact of the Word of God. They'll find that blessing.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.